It's no accident you've clicked on this episode. You must be interested in updating your knowledge of Alzheimer's disease literature that is focused on treatments targeting synaptic and neuronal protection. If that's the case, this episode can help you with that goal by going over 14 papers published in January of 2022 that cover topics like protecting against cytotoxicity and improving neuronal function in transgenic animals. I'll catch you right after this introduction to explain more.
Welcome to Aminder, a podcast where we summarize the latest publications on Alzheimer's disease for you, so you can spend more time doing awesome research. For every month, you'll find a series of episodes by theme, and each comes with a bibliography. Whether you're in the lab, on the bus, or cooking your meal, we hope you find this podcast useful and accessible.
Hello there, my name is Anusha, and I'll be hosting this episode for you. That means I'll be summarizing 14 papers to the best of my ability. Now, I'm actually a Parkinson's disease researcher, so take my summaries with a grain of salt. A better way to assess the quality of the episode's literature is to go to the bibliography that is attached and look up the papers for yourself. They will be listed in the episode notes in the order they're presented in today's episode, and you can also find them on our website, aminder.com. Let's break down what to expect. We'll first be looking at two papers that try to improve cognition and neurogenesis using stem cell-based treatments. Then, we've got three papers that explore the effects of different compounds in protecting against amyloid beta or A-beta induced neurotoxicity. Following that is a solitary paper on glutamate-induced toxicity right before our break. After the break, we've got three papers using transgenic mouse models of AD, or Alzheimer's disease, and concluding our episode with five papers using rat models of AD instead. That was a lot of preamble, but now we're ready to dive right into our first section on treatments using stem cells. The title of our first paper is called Neural Stem Cell Transplantation Alleviates Functional Cognitive Deficits in a Mouse Model of Tauopathy. The first author is Zhang, and the last author is King, and this was published in the journal Neural Regeneration Research. The authors are affiliated with Beijing Institute of Technology in China. Our first paper looks at transplanting neural stem cells into the hippocampal CA1 region of a mouse model of Alzheimer's disease characterized by tau pathology. The researchers found that transplantation was able to reduce tau aggregation, improve short-term memory, and change the expression of proteins related to tau processing. They followed this up with transcriptomics, which revealed that genes that were upregulated played a role in functions such as long-term potentiation, neurogenesis, and more. The related protein expression was further quantified using Western blots. Altogether, their data contribute to the understanding of neural stem cell transplantation as a potential AD treatment. Be sure to look up this paper if you want to know more about their transgenic mouse model or their findings. Paper number two is entitled Neurogenic and Cognitive Enhancing Effects of Human Dental Pulp Stem Cells and Its Secretome in Animal Model of Hippocampal Neurodegeneration. The first author is Venugopal, and the last author is Dhanush Kodi, and this was published in the journal Brain Research Bulletin. The authors are affiliated with Manipal University of Higher Education in India. In our next paper, we get more into specifics, as authors here injected either dental pulp stem cells or the media that came from them into the hippocampus of a mouse model of hippocampal degeneration. They found that in this model, transplantation alleviated neurodegeneration, neuroinflammation, and promoted neurogenesis in the hippocampus. Behaviorally, this improved spatial learning and memory in a way that proved superior to mesenchymal stem cell transplantation. They suggest their findings could be a result of reduced apoptosis and go on a little bit further into the mechanism if you are interested in that. To conclude, dental pulp stem cells and the factors that they produce may be a superior alternative to the typical mesenchymal stem cells tested as an AD treatment. We're now switching themes to look at how certain compounds work as a neuroprotective agent against A-beta-induced toxicity. Our first paper of this section is paper number 3, and is a departure from the rest of our papers on rodent models as it uses C. elegans to model Alzheimer's disease. Paper number 3 is titled, A Glycoside Complex Based on Palladium Towards Alzheimer's Disease, Promising Protective Activity Against A-beta-Induced Toxicity in C. elegans. The first author is Garcia, and the last author is Rodriguez Diegues, and this was published in Chemical Communications based in Cambridge. The authors are affiliated primarily with the University of Granada, University of Sevilla, and Universidad Europea del Atlántico, which are all located in Spain. In our first paper of this new section, authors modify a treatment for diabetes to target AD pathology. In a C. elegans model of A-beta-induced toxicity, they applied a palladium-modified chemical called glycoside. They found that this compound inhibited butyrylcholinesterase with a mixed mode of inhibition. They also suggest that this compound exhibits protective activity in this particular model of Alzheimer's disease, although they don't elaborate what they mean by that statement. If you are interested in the role that cholinesterases play in the treatment of Alzheimer's disease, I have hosted many episodes on the subject of treatments targeting neurotransmission. Scroll back into our episode library to find them and check out this month's bibliography if you wanted the latest information. Paper number 4 is called Isoproterenol, an adrenergic beta receptor agonist, induces metallothionein synthesis followed by canceling amyloid beta 1-42 induced neurodegeneration. The first author is Kawano, the last author is Takeda, and this was published in the journal Biometals. The authors are affiliated with the University of Shizuoka in Japan. Here, another neurotransmitter is implicated, and this time it's the beta-adrenergic receptor, whose activation can ameliorate A-beta-induced toxicity. Authors tested a compound that agonizes this receptor called isoproterenol. They found that while 14 days of treatment with A-beta 1-42 degenerates neurons in the dentate granule cell layer of the brain, this is abolished if isoproterenol is also co-administered. Even though A-beta uptake did not seem to be affected 1 hour post-injection, it did reduce downstream impacts of A-beta, including protecting against zinc ion reduction. They suggest that this is a result of increased intracellular metallothionines, which contribute to zinc homeostasis, as well as protect against oxidative stress. So, isoproterenol could be another avenue to protect against A-beta-induced toxicity in the brain. Moving on, we have paper number 5, Beneficial Effects of a Combination of Curcuma longa L and Citrus junus Against Beta-Amyloid Peptide-Induced Neurodegeneration in Mice. The first author is Kim, and the last author is Yoon, and this was published in the Journal of Medicinal Foods. The authors are affiliated with Yonsei University College of Medicine, Korea University, and SDC Research and Development Center, which are all located in South Korea. We are now switching from a pharmaceutical compound to a naturally occurring one, with this proposed treatment consisting of turmeric and the citrus fruit yuzu extracts. They found that in vitro, these extracts protected against neurotoxicity, although they don't specify what their in vitro model looks like. This treatment also improved behavior and memory in vivo in a mouse model of Alzheimer's disease, and this was correlated to their findings that hippocampal neurotrophic factors were upregulated, as well as brain cholinergic transmission, and reduced oxidative stress in the brain following treatment with these extracts. That's really the extent of the details in the abstract, so do check out the actual paper, which is paper number 5 in the bibliography, if you want to know more. Let's turn to a different kind of cytotoxic damage, one which is induced by too much glutamate. Here is paper number 6. Polygalasaponin F protects hippocampal neurons against glutamate-induced cytotoxicity. The first author is Sun, and the last author is Lee, and this was published in the journal Neural Regeneration Research. Authors are affiliated with Nanchang University and Hangzhou Normal University in China. Extracellular glutamate buildup can trigger neuronal cell death through NMDA receptor activation. Authors wanted to protect against this using a compound called polygallosaponin F, derived from a type of plant called milkworts. They pretreated hippocampal neurons with this compound before exposing neurons to 24 hours of glutamate in the media. This managed to inhibit glutamate-induced cell death in a concentration-dependent manner. They also found that this compound partially blocked NMDA receptors and reduced calcium flux into cultured neurons. More specifically, the NR2A subunit of the NMDA receptor was downregulated while NR2B expression was upregulated. They found elevated levels of brain-derived neurotrophic factor and Krebs protein, which are both anti-apoptotic. Their findings suggest that polygallosaponin F could serve as a neuroprotectant in diseases such as AD and stroke, where glutamate toxicity is a pathological feature. Obviously, they'll need to do more work in vivo and in models closer to human neurons before it can enter clinical trials. Since we're now halfway through our episode, let's take a short break to hear from another member of our team as well as from our sponsor. Don't go anywhere.
Hi, I'm Ellen Rowe, host and co-founder here at Aminder. I've been with the team since the very beginning in 2020, and I really love it because it's an outlet to hone my own science communication skills, and I feel super passionate about the mission of making sure scientists are well informed about all of the new research being churned out. It's also super rewarding to be a part of a community of like-minded and driven scientists from all career stages. If you're interested in getting involved with our team, we are currently recruiting new hosts and content creators for the show. This is a great opportunity for researchers interested in keeping up to date with the latest Alzheimer's research and getting some science communication experience in the process. If this has piqued your interest, you can reach us at aminderpodcast@gmail.com or through any of our social media platforms, and we'd love to hear a bit about you.
Nearly 1 million older Canadians live with a form of dementia. This number is expected to double within 10 years, and sadly no solutions exist yet to dramatically reduce these numbers. It has to stop. Research can help solve this problem. We are 350 researchers fully dedicated towards preventing and finding a cure to dementia, and to improve care to those living with dementia. We are the Canadian Consortium on Neurodegeneration in Aging. The solution to dementia could be closer than you think.
Hello again. Let's jump right into our next section, where all of the papers we will be looking at use a transgenic mouse model of AD as a backbone to test potential treatments. The first paper of this section is paper number 7 of our episode. Anti-LINGO-1 antibody treatment alleviates cognitive deficits and promotes maturation of oligodendrocytes in the hippocampus of APP-PS1 mice. The first author is Yang, and the last author is Tang, and this was published in the Journal of Comparative Neurology. The authors are affiliated with Chongqing Medical University in China. Both this and the next paper use the APP-PS1 mouse model of Alzheimer's disease. This mouse harbors two human mutations in genes that are linked to early onset AD. In this paper, authors target the protein LINGO-1, which can reduce oligodendrocyte differentiation and myelination. This downregulation is associated with cognitive dysfunction, and LINGO-1 levels are actually increased in individuals with AD. Authors employed an antibody treatment against LINGO-1 in 10-month-old male APP-PS1 mice over the course of 2 months. They then tested behavior in the Morris water maze and the Y maze, and looked at histopathology of the hippocampus. They found that treatment rescued deficits in spatial learning and memory and reduced the density of LINGO-1 positive cells. Treatment decreased A-beta deposits, increased mature oligodendrocyte numbers, and myelination. This was correlated with a reduction in the oligodendrocyte precursor cells, suggesting more of these cells are entering a mature state. To summarize their findings, LINGO-1 antagonism could improve hippocampal function and target AD pathogenesis. Next is paper number 8. Genepicetic acid confers neuroprotective effects in a mouse model of Alzheimer's disease through activation of a PI3K, AKT, GAP43, regulatory axis. The first author is Chen, and the last author is Shi, and this was published in the Journal of Prevention of Alzheimer's Disease. The authors are affiliated with Qiqihar Medical University in China. Our next model starts with APP PS1 mutations and adds on one more, the mouse prion protein. Authors use this strain of mice to test a compound derived from gardenia plants called genipacetic acid. This compound's administration in mice improved cognitive impairment, reduced A-beta buildup, and neuronal apoptosis. It also ameliorated inflammation and axonal abnormalities in A-beta-induced neurons. Bioinformatics revealed GAP43 as a possible target of this compound, and this was supported by their experimental findings as well. Furthermore, they found that GAP43 expression was dependent on the PI3 kinase AKT pathway, which ultimately improved nerve injury in their mouse model of AD. Moving on, we have paper number 9, Icarine ameliorates Alzheimer's disease pathology by alleviating myelin injury in 3XTG AD mice. The first author is Yu, and the last author is Zhi, and this was published in Neurochemical Research. The authors are affiliated with Zhejiang Chinese Medical University. The last paper of this section ties together the previous two papers, as this one looks at myelin cell damage, but using another mouse model of AD called the triple transgenic mouse. Here, authors test the compound Icarine, which is often used in traditional Chinese medicine, for its effects on A-beta deposition, myelin basic protein expression, and spatial learning and memory. They found that treatment with this compound improved all the aforementioned pathologies, as well as reducing aberrant tau protein phosphorylation in this mouse model. They also report it improved optic nerve and corpus callosum myelination, and measures of learning and memory. Therefore, it could serve as another compound to treat AD pathology. If you're looking for more information on how AD might change gray and white matter of the brain, Christy just recorded an episode on the subject, so check out episode number 269 if you're interested. All right, we've now entered our final section of the episode, which moves up in scale to rat models of Alzheimer's disease. The first of these models is one that should be a little familiar from earlier on in this episode, as it is induced by A-beta 1 to 42 infusion. Paper number 10 is titled Neuroprotective Role of Diastgenin, a NGF Stimulator Against A-beta 1 to 42 Induced Neurotoxicity in Animal Model of Alzheimer's Disease. The first author is Sum, and the last author is Ponnushankar, and this was published in Metabolic Brain Disorders. Authors are affiliated with the JSS College of Pharmacy in India. Still using a natural source for a treatment option, our next paper brings us to a plant-derived neurosteroid called diastgenin. This compound has been reported to improve arrhythmia, hypolipidemia, and cell proliferation. Authors tested the effects of this compound in an A-beta-induced rat model of AD. Behavioral assessments, such as the radial arm maze and passive avoidance tasks, showed a dose-dependent improvement in spatial learning and memory. They also report that this treatment attenuated A-beta-induced plaque load, oxidative stress, neuroinflammation, and acetylcholine levels. The authors conclude that diastgenin could serve as a neuroprotectant against A-beta-induced pathology. Paper number 11 is entitled Genistein Prevents the Decrease in Ganglioside Levels Induced by Amyloid Beta in the Frontal Cortex of Rats. The first author is Dos Santos Petri, and the last author is Trinidade, and this was published in Neurological Research. The authors are affiliated with Universidade Federal de Rio Grande do Sul in Brazil. This paper is another one using A-beta-induced rats to test their compound of interest. This time, however, authors investigated genistein, which belongs to a class of compounds called isoflavones. Authors found that oral administration for 10 days alongside A-beta deposition in the brain prevented decreased lipid ganglioside levels that is observed in A-beta-treated animals. They did not, however, observe any changes to phospholipid or cholesterol levels, so this compound's effects on lipid homeostasis seems to be particular to gangliosides. What this means for neuronal function is highlighted in the paper, but left to interpretation in the abstract. So uncovering the implications will be your quest, should you choose to accept it. Up next is paper number 12. Dendrobium nobile Lindl, alkaloids ameliorate A-beta 25-35 induced synaptic deficits by targeting Wnt beta-catenin pathway in Alzheimer's disease models. The first author is Zhang and the last author is Shi, and this was published in the Journal of Alzheimer's Disease. The authors are affiliated with three different institutes in China. This paper also uses A-beta to induce AD-like pathology in rats. However, this time, the fragment is A-beta 25-35. We turn our attention to the compound Dendrobium nobile Lindl alkaloids, which is shortened to DNLA in this abstract. This compound has previously been shown to improve cognition in other models of aging, as well as models of Alzheimer's disease. However, the mechanism remained to be uncovered by those previous papers. Authors here administered this compound intragastrically before A-beta induction and continued administration 28 days after starting A-beta treatment as well. They found that the compound alleviated A-beta-induced cognitive impairment, increased synapse number, as well as markers of mature synapses in the hippocampus. It also ameliorated GSK3-beta activity and beta-catenin phosphorylation, which are both altered by A-beta treatment. In vitro, it seemed to restore mitochondrial function and reduced reactive oxygen species generation, as well as amyloidogenesis. This was observed in both primary neurons and in transgenic PC12 cells. They further highlight that mechanistically, DNLA is dependent on Wnt beta-catenin pathway activation, at least as far as its effects on expression levels of A-beta 1-42 and PSD95 is concerned. Altogether, this paper delves into the mechanism behind DNLA improvement of AD pathology in a rat model of AD. We're in the home stretch here with two more papers to go. Paper number 13 is entitled Apelin-13 Protects Against Memory Impairment and Neuron Loss Induced by Scopolamine in Male Rats. I don't know if you could hear it in my voice, but I was really excited that paper number 13 had the number 13 in the title. The first author is Gazme, and the last author is Jemie, and this was published in the journal Metabolic Brain Disorder. The authors are affiliated with Golestan University of Medical Sciences and the Iran University of Medical Sciences, which are both located in, surprise, surprise, Iran. Let's go over how scopolamine can induce AD in rats before diving into the results of this paper. This is a compound that targets muscarinic acetylcholine receptors, and it was injected intraperitoneally in rats to induce toxicity in the brain, leading to cognitive impairment. This study tested the effects of a compound called apelin-13 in scopolamine-induced rats. Apelin-13 may serve as a substrate for acetylcholine esterase, whose overactivity is a feature of Alzheimer's disease. Authors found that 7-day treatment with apelin-13 improved passive avoidance memory, neuronal loss, and improved synaptic protein density in the hippocampus. These results will need to be substantiated further to confirm its therapeutic potential in Alzheimer's disease and other neurodegenerative diseases. Our last paper is paper number 14. Digoxin exhibits neuroprotective properties in a rat model of dementia. The first author is Erdogan, and the last author is Erbas, and this was published in Neurochemical Research. The authors belong to İzmir Katip Celebi University, Mukla University, and Bilim University, which are all in Turkey. Finally, we've got a paper looking at the effects of a drug used to treat heart failure in a model of AD. Here, AD was replicated using streptozotocin-induced rats, which is yet another toxin that can cause damage to the brain. These cohorts are fairly small, with only 6 animals in each group. But 3 weeks of digitoxin rescued passive avoidance learning deficits, increased hippocampal cell counts, and both improved cholinergic transmission and reduced neuroinflammation. These findings were relative to the streptozotocin-induced group. Their findings suggest that digitoxin should be considered for the treatment of cognitive impairment in AD. Thank you for staying with me all the way through to the end of another episode. If you're interested in other episodes on the subject of changes to cognition or behavior, check out Ellen Kosh's episode in previous series. Another one you can check out is my episode from earlier this month, where I covered papers that characterized changes to synaptic transmission. I usually host another episode on treatments that target neurotransmitter balance, but I've got a bit too much on my plate at the moment. Don't worry though, we still sort out the literature into thematic bibliographies, including that one, so just head over to aminder.com for all of the details. If you want to help us out by hosting episodes that you are an expert in, or by joining my editing team, reach out to us through aminderpodcast@gmail.com. Now on to our acknowledgements. Thank you firstly to our sponsor, the CCNA, for helping us financially in what is otherwise a volunteer effort. Thank you also to the brilliant sorting team for taking on such a big task every month. Thank you to our managers, Sarah, Ellen Kosh, Ellen Rowe, Nyla, myself, it's hard to thank myself, but you know what I mean, Jacques, and Laura. Thank you also to Ellen Kosh for reviewing this episode, and to Anjana for the bibliography. I'd like to take a moment to mention that the music that you hear in the background is called Journey of a Neurotransmitter. It's a piece that I wrote, and you can find it on my YouTube channel at AK Music or on SoundCloud under Anusha Kamesh. It's funny, I actually had a dream about this very piece of music last night. Most important of all the thank yous is a big, big thank you to you, the listener, for your continued support. If you could help us out even further, please take a moment to rate our podcast, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or Spotify, and share it with your friends. We're on social media too, if you'd like to stay in touch with us, or even put a face to the voices that you hear today. We hope you find this podcast useful and accessible. In fact, those are the goals of our Aminder podcast. I hope you also take the time to explore one of our other episodes. We release a new episode each Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, so you have plenty of content to look over. Enjoy!